Ikaw ba'y guro ng math and science? Kung ganun, tara na at makinig sa programang tanging para sa'yo. Go Teacher Go! Tungkol sa mga bagong math and science teaching techniques, inain, hindi lang pang guro, pang estudyante pa. Go Teacher Go!
Hello mga classmates! Isang magandang-magandang hapon po sa ating lahat. Ako po si Malu Sales Agad, ang mga kasama nyo sa loob ng isang oras kasama ang ating mga panauhin ngayong hapon. At kayo po ay nakikinig sa programang Go Teacher Go! Ito po ang programang sadyang inihandog ng UP NISMED para sa mahal nating mga guro upang magbigay ng dagdag kaalaman at impormasyon sa lalong ikabubuti ng pagtuturo ng science at mathematics sa elementary at high school. Kumusta na mga classmates? Medyo mga teenagers sa mga kasama natin ngayon. Actually, kasama po natin sila sa mga nagdaang episodes. At para sa hapang ito, force and motion pa rin ang pag-uusapan. Kaya lang po, ang episode natin ngayong hapon ay may pamagat na formative assessment on force and motion. At kasama ko po ngayong hapon ang mga experts ng physics work group ng UP NISMED. Unahin natin si Teacher Cyril.
Magandang hapon po sa lahat ng nakikinig sa atin ngayong hapon na to. Sana ay muli, marami po kayong matutunan sa aming ibabahagi po.
Okay. Ayan po si Teacher Cyril. Magandang hapon sa iyo, Teacher Cyril. At susunod natin ipapakilala or magpapakilala ay ladies muna kami. Oh, yes. Siyempre si Teacher Debbie.
Magandang hapon po. Po si Teacher Debbie. Ako po'y muling nagbabalik at sana may marami kayong matutunan sa episode namin ngayong hapon na ito.
Ayan, sigurado yung Teacher Debbie. At syempre, the only thorn, sabi nga, ang nag-iisang si Teacher Ramon.
Hello po, good afternoon po mga teachers at mga students na rin. Ngayon po ay magbabahagi, ngayong hapon po ay magbabahagi kami ng isang uri ng assessment na tinatawag nating formative assessment. At sana ay mabigyan naming liwanag kung ano ito, lalo na kung ano ang importansya nito sa pagtuturo ng force at motion.
Ayan, at kung inyo pong natatandaan, ang mga kasama natin ngayong hapon ay naging kasama na natin ng mga nangagdaang episodes. At noon nga eh, kung ating tayo magbabalik tanaw ay maaalala natin na pinag-usapan na natin itong force and motion. Kaya lang, ang focus sa mga nagdaang episodes ay alternative misconceptions.
Alternative conceptions.
Oh, sorry naman. Nagdoble-doble na.
Nagdoble-doble.
Alternative conceptions. Tapos, meron din, si Teacher Cyril din ay nagpaliwanag tungkol dun sa teaching through variation as a method for addressing alternative conceptions. At ngayong hapon nga, ay magfo-focus naman tayo sa force and motion pa rin, pero formative assessment naman. Ayan, tama ba ako? This is another method of addressing alternative conceptions. Then ano, tama ba ako?
Pwedeng addressing alternative conceptions or pwede rin na para maiwasan na magkaroon ng misconceptions on the part of the learner.
Okay.
So parang ito ay para parang pwedeng gamitin ng guro, ng mga guro, para ma-lead o ma-refine kung ano man yung conceptions ng mga bata based on their experience, para ma-refine yon towards the acceptable concept. Yung kumbaga, scientifically accepted concept.
Yes. Yun. Okay. So, at nabanggit nyo nga, ang isang paraan dito ay yung sinasabing formative assessment. So, syempre, bago tayo dumalo yun. Bago tayo mag-discuss ng mas malalim pa, mas magandang balikan natin kung ano itong tinatawag na formative assessment. So, magpapaliwanag si Teacher Debbie.
So, yung formative, unahin muna natin. Okay, so may dalawang salita na bumubuo dito sa formative assessment. Tingnan muna natin kung yung dalawang salitang to, formative and assessment. So, unahin muna natin yung pangalawang salita, assessment. Kasi, so familiar tayo, di ba? Pag naririnig natin yung salitang assessment, yung unang naiisip natin ay exam, test.
Right, oo.
So, pag tinignan naman natin yung definition nito sa dictionary, yung ibig sabihin ng assessment ay isang evaluation dun sa ability or quality ng isang tao or bagay. So, sa education naman, pwede nating masabing yung assessment ay yung process ng pag-document at pagkuha, pagkalap ng data based on experience or observation ng knowledge, skill, attitude, and beliefs ng student. So, okay na tayo okay, doon okay sa definition. So, punta naman tayo sa yung first word, which is formative.
Formative, okay.
Pag sinabi nating formative, yung una nating naiisip, diba, is it forms a person, which means it aids in the development.
Parang may nabubuo.
Oh, parang nabubuo. Tinutulungan yung pagbubuo ng tao, ng konsepto.
Isang konsepto.
So, putting these two definitions together, pag pinagsama natin, maaari nating sabihin na yung formative assessment ay isang method or isang paraan kung saan tinutulungan niya yung pag-form, pag-develop ng konsepto ng mga estudyante. It can be the forming of the knowledge, attitude or skills that we want to the students to have.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, may pag tinignan natin sa literatura, yung may isang paper or article na ginawa yung OECD, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Yung title ng article na to ay Assessment for Learning, The Case for Formative Assessment. Dinefine dito na yung formative assessment sa classroom ay nagre-refer dun sa mga madalas, frequent, interactive dapat na assessment that actually monitor student progress and understand their needs. Try to understand their needs. So, in a way, when we understand their needs, we can adjust teaching appropriately. So, makikita natin dito na yung main purpose niya ay for students' development. Diba? It aids students' development. And in the development of the students, we see that teacher's intervention is very important for an assessment to be considered formative.
Ah, lagi involved pala yung teacher dito sa
palagi po, palagi. Actually, nagiging formative lang yung isang assessment if yung evidence na nakukuha, evidence ng student learning na nakukuha ay magagamit ng teacher to their professional judgment kung ano yung next na gagawin sa pagtuturo nila.
So may batayan.
May batayan.
So parang maliwanag mo namang naipahayag sa amin kung anitong formative assessment, Teacher Debbie. Kaya lang, naalala ko meron din tayong yung sinasabi na summative assessment. So ano ba ang pagkakaiba ng formative sa summative assessment?
Okay, mabutit na tanong mo yan, no, classmate Malu. Mm-hmm. Actually, may isa pa nga eh, yung tinatawag nilang diagnostic assessment, di ba? So,
diagnosis. Parang doktor, ano, sa simula titingnan ko.
Oh, ayun, tama. Yung keyword doon is yung sa simula, mm-hmm, di ba? Mm-hmm. So, pagdating naman kay summative at saka kay formative assessment, una, titingnan muna natin, ano ba talaga yung purpose ng bawat isa?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so pag sinabi nating formative assessment, ang purpose actually is to improve learning and achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Yung learning at achievement ng mga bata, yun ang purpose naman talaga niya eh. Para ma-achieve man kung ano man yung objective nila sa araw na yon, no, mga learning objectives. Pagdating naman sa summative assessment, from the word summative, kumbaga, titingnan mo na ngayon kung i-measure mo na ngayon. So, nandun na yung word na measurement, no? So, i-measure mo na ngayon kung ano yung natutunan ng mga bata. So, pagkakaiba, pwede nating sabihin na ang formative assessment ay usually ginagawa during the learning, teaching and learning process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, parang kumbaga, habang tinuturo yung concept, habang tinuturo yung topic, ginagawa ang formative assessment ng teacher. Sa summative assessment naman, pagkatapos na, sa dulo na yon. Para, di ba, para malaman mo nga kung natuto yung bata o hindi. So, sa dulo, pagkatapos ng teaching learning process, saka mo gagawin yung summative assessment. Mm-hmm. So, dahil doon, ang formative assessment, so parang ngayon, isa-isa kong parang ine-emphasize yung pagkakaiba nilang nung assessment, nung dalawang formative, klase na assessment na yun, no? So, ganun, yung formative assessment, it's part of the teaching learning process. Okay. Embedded siya sa teaching and learning process. Samantalang yung summative assessment, parang bukod siya na activity. Kumbaga, hindi siya kasama sa teaching learning process, kundi it's a separate activity.
Parang pagkatapos na ng proseso,
pagkatapos na ng proseso, doon papasok si summative assessment. Mm-hmm. So it's a separate activity that is performed after the teaching and learning cycle.
Para namang parang sum, kabuuan, parang ganoon ano, parang doon mo i-relate. Kabuuan, sabi mo nga ay parang may natutunan ba after ditong learning ano, teaching process?
So parang ano, no? So ang importante doon, formative assessment, proseso siya. Proseso. Part siya ng proseso. Uh-oh. Samantalang sa summative assessment, pwede na natin siyang tawaging produkto.
Ayun, produkto.
Parang produkto siya, no? Parang parang yun yung resulta na eh.
Parang output na yun eh.
Parang, yes, parang ganon. Parang
yung ito na nangyari.
Tama, classmate.
So, klaro, salamat sa maliwanag mong paliwanag, Teacher Cheryl. May mga idadagdag pa ba kayo, mga teachers?
Yung, I think, kailangan din natin i-mention, yung may mga features kasi yung formative assessment. We could compare it actually with the features of summative assessment. So, gaya na nabanggit ni Teacher Cheryl kanina, na purpose ng formative assessment is to improve learning and achievement, habang ang purpose naman ng summative assessment is to measure or audit whatever the students have learned.
Mm-mm.
Okay? And then, formative assessment is carried out while learning is in progress, that is day-to-day or minute-by-minute, while summative assessment is carried out from time to time, to create snapshots of what has happened. Ayun. So, periodical exam, quizzes, after 2 weeks, mga ganun.
Mm-mm.
Pero ang formative assessment, habang
tinuturo.
So, araw-araw, minuto-minuto, ganun yung formative assessment. focus on learning process, focus on the learning process and the learning progress. So, process and progress. While the summative assessment is focused on the products of learning.
Ayan, okay. Klaro na sa atin, ano? Ano yung pagkakaiba ng formative assessment sa summative assessment. Mamaya, ipagpapatuloy natin ang ating usapang formative assessment on force and motion sa ating pagbabalik. Ang DZUP ay member ng KBP, Kapisana ng Mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas. DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka! Halika na makinig sa
Narito na ang pinakamalaking pagtitipon ng lokal na produkto. Made with 100% Filipino love and pride. Inihahandog ng Yabang Pinoy ang 21st Global Pinoy Bazaar. Ngayong November 30 at December 1, 10 a.m. hanggang 10 p.m. sa The 5th at Rockwell Power Plant Mall, Makati City. Para sa ibang detalye, mag-message sa globalpinoy2019@gmail.com o tumawag sa 0906-235-3722. Ito ay hatid sa inyo ng Yabang Pinoy sa pakikipag tulungan ng DZUP 1602, kasali ka! DZUP at 60, ituloy ang kwento!
Lolo, di ba nang tapos kayo sa UP 50 years ago?
Oo, apo! Taong 2017!
Ano pong itsura ng UP noon?
Madami pang puno at damuhan! Puro luntian!
Talaga po? Wow! Ngayon, puro gusali at aspalto na lang.
Ang UP ay oasis sa gitna ng lungsod. gawin ang tungkulin nating alagaan ng kalikasan. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Go, teacher, go!
Nagbabalik po ang Go, Teacher, Go! Ito pa rin si Classmate Malu. Kasama ko po ngayong hapon sila
Teacher Cheryl,
Teacher Ramon,
Teacher Debbie,
sa episode na Formative Assessment on Force and Motion. At kanina nga po, ipinag-uusapan natin yung mga pagkakaiba ng formative assessment sa summative assessment base sa purpose. At saka kung mga features ba ito? Mga features.
Purpose, yan.
Yeah, may purpose. At saka nga daw, yung formative assessment ay isang proseso, sabi ng ating mga
part siya ng proseso.
Part ng proseso. Samantalang itong summative assessment ay makukonsider na na product ng learning.
Ia-assess mo na. Kumbaga, i-measure mo na or i-audit mo na kung natutun pa yung bata o natutunan ba niya talaga yung intended ano ko. Parang ganon. Gusto mong malaman.
So, sa mga tuwid ito ay magkahiwalay na activity.
Opo.
Magkaiba, no?
Opo.
Magkaibang activity. So, may idadagdag ka pa, Teacher Ramon?
Yung, siguro, two points more on the difference between formative assessment and summative assessment. Yung formative assessment kasi, it generally is collaborative. Ibig sabihin, yung teachers and students know where they are headed, understand the learning needs, and use assessment information, gaya nang nabanggit ni Teacher Debbie kanina, yung mga data, observations, as feedback to guide and adapt what they do to meet those needs. Ang summative assessment naman, it's teacher-directed. Okay. Like, gagawa ka ng periodical exam. It's the teachers who choose the question, who formulate the question, makes the choices. Teachers assign what the students must do and then evaluate how well they complete the assignment. Or yung kung maalala natin, yung may mga moving exams tayo, di ba? Yung mga teachers yung naglagay ng kung ano mang nasa station 1, station 2, and then the students will answer the question. So, it's teacher-directed summative assessment. At siguro, ito, ang formative assessment din, masasabi natin na fluid kasi ongoing process influenced by students' need and teacher feedback. So, yung teacher, when the teacher receives information from the student, like the way the students say a certain concept, whether it's aligned, scientifically aligned, or it's an alternative conception, the teacher could actually adjust his lesson plan, his teaching technique, okay, for that day to address whatever is taken from the whatever is given by the students. Kaya masasabi natin fluid.
Na yun, yes. Pwede siyang magpalit.
Pwede siyang magpalit. So dapat kaya nga ang lesson planning or ang paggawa ng lesson plan, hindi yan check mark na nagawa na ba to, Kasi it could change anytime, depende dun sa feedback ng mga ng student. Whereas summative assessment, it's rigid and changing. Ibig sabihin na plano na ng teacher yun. So, hindi na yun pwedeng baguhin. Okay, on normal circumstances.
Okay.
So, difference between formative and summative assessment.
So, magkaiba talaga yung formative at saka summative assessment.
Yes, opo.
Pero ang challenge kasi nito yung pag-implement sa loob ng klase. So, sinasabi nyo rin na meron nga dito na teacher-driven, teacher-directed, meron namang yung nagbi-mention kayo na may mga feedbacking, ganun, may nagbibigay ng feedback. Pero sa kapag ka in-implement na ito ng mga guro sa loob ng classroom, meron ba silang dapat tandaan? O meron ba kayong maibibigay na payo or points para maging effective itong pag-implement ng formative assessment?
So, yung marami na actually pag-aaral dito sa formative assessment kung paano mas magiging effective ito sa classroom. So, dito sa talakayan na ito, gamitin natin bilang reference yung libro pinamagatang Advancing Formative Assessment in Every Classroom, A Guide for Instructional Leaders. Actually, medyo magkakahawig naman kasi talaga yung nakalagay dito. So, yung sinasabi dito na may 6 na elements or components, kung baga sila yung bumubuo, yung parte bumubuo para magkaroon tayo ng effective formative assessment. Do hindi naman kailangan na present lahat, na makikita mo lahat. Mm-mm. So babanggitin ko yung anim na ito, tapos tatalakayin natin isa-isa ng mas maigi pa.
Oo, para mas lalo naming maintindihan.
So una is shared learning targets and criteria for success. Mm-hmm. Meron tayong tinatawag din na student goal setting. Pangatlo dyan ay yung feedback, not just any feedback, but feedback that feeds learning forward. Meron ding strategic teacher questioning, student engagement in asking effective question, and last but not the least is student self-assessment and peer assessment. So uulitin ko lang, ito yung anim na components or elements ng formative assessment.
Okay, yung mention mo, yung una mong binanggit ay yung shared learning targets and criteria for success. Paano ba ginagawa yan? Meron ba kayong meron ba kayong sample na pwede naming marinig?
So,
para mas lalo kaming makarelate. Ayan.
Siguro familiar na sa mga teacher yung pagsiset ng target, 'di ba? Kasi everyday nagsiset tayo ng objective. Mm-mm. Ano ba yung gusto nating matutunan ng mga estudyante sa araw na 'to? Paano ba natin i-assess yung mga student? Paano ba natin masasabi, may criteria na tayo kung paano natin masasabi na natutunan na talaga ng estudyante ang konseptong to. Pero yung pinaka-importante dito is, yung first word nga ay shared. Ibig sabihin, both teachers and student must know. Parang dapat alam nila kung ano yung learning targets, at yung mga steps na kailangang tahakin ng mga students, gawin ng mga students to move towards acquiring this particular target.
So bali, ang pag sinabing shared learning, ang ito ay ang nag-share, ang tinutukoy dito ay teacher at saka students.
Pwede po ba? May sharing lang po ako regarding dun sa I was teaching before in a lab in a school, high school siya, pero ang tinuturuan ko po is yung chemistry at physics na laboratory. Mm-hmm. So, part of the, paano bang masasabi natin, criteria, na iti-check kami ng aming mga supervisors ay yung learning objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Ang rule kasi nasa school na yon is, we should write the learning objectives on the board.
Okay.
Let the students read the learning objectives, and then explain the learning objectives. So, pag mag-rounds na yung mga supervisors namin, they always look for that learning objective. So, sa akin, since laboratory ako, I have time to write that one on a board. My other colleagues, yung naghawak ng lecture, ng lecture part, they write the learning objectives on cartolina. And then, before the start of the class, ididikit nila sa board, sa gilid ng board, and then, doon na rin nila gagawin to. And then, syempre, part of the discussing the learning objectives is to actually discuss kung ano yung at the end of the day, not really lesson, but at the end of the day, ano yung kukunin na mga teacher galing sa mga students.
So I think importante yon na yung learning objectives ay dapat kayang, I mean, yung sinulat na learning target or objective ay for the day's lesson.
So, hindi isang hindi isang topic na diniskus, kundi kabuuan ng maghapong pinag-aralan. Ganun ba yung ibig sabihin?
Ang practice namin dun sa school is kung ano yung lesson mo that meeting. Yan yung gagawan mo ng learning objectives. Iba pa yan dun sa nakikita ng teacher lang na learning objectives for the whole unit. Iba yan. Yung malaki kang learning objectives for the whole unit, basag-basagin mo yun into small one. Yung small ones, yung parati naming yung dinidikit, sinusulat, yung dinidiscuss bago ang klase.
So maganda sigurong magbigay ng halimbawa.
Oo nga, sige nga.
So kunwari, yung lesson, di ba, usually yung lesson sa grade 8 ay about force. So pag yung first siguro na lesson nito ay what is a force, ganyan yung lesson. So parang yung kasunod pwedeng contact and non-contact force. So, yun yung main lesson. So, pwede nating sabihin na pwedeng ipaskill, gawing learning objectives ng teacher ay una, students should be able to identify contact and non-contact forces, and second, they should know that a force can be exerted without making physical contact. So I think this is a good learning objective because it's doable, it's clear, diba? It's clear and doable for the day's lesson.
Mm-mm. So yun, ipopose yun dapat yung teacher.
Dapat alam. It's communicated to the students. Yes.
Okay.
And I think related dito yung element, yung second element, which is yung student goal setting.
Mm-mm.
Kasi if familiar tayo sa KWL, I think yung mga teachers familiar sila dito, yung what I know, what I want to learn, what I have learned. Uh-uh. So, una is what I know, yun yung previous na, yung prior knowledge ng students.
Okay.
Then what I want to learn, it's the students, what do the students want to learn? So they must own the learning. So for example, kanina, di ba, it's about force and motion. So siguro yung magandang pwedeng activity dito ay pwede mong i-ask yung students mo to make some questions, write some questions that will help them better meet their learning target.
So, itong sinasabi mong student goal setting, ay this time yung nanggagaling naman sa bata.
So, base sa binigay ng teacher, ng objective na binigay ng teacher.
Kanina.
Sige.
Sige, pagpapatuloy natin bago, medyo nagdidikit-dikit din pala itong mga element ng formative assessment. Ano? Sige, pagpapatuloy natin ang ating usapan sa ating pagbabalik. Ang DZUP 1602 ay kasapi ng KBP, kapisana ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. DZUP 1602,
kasali ka!
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Samahan niyo kaming mahuk
sa isang malaman,
matapang,
at masayang usapan.
Psycho Clock Habits!
6 to 7 ng gabi, tuwing Huwebes,
sa DZUP 1602,
kasali ka!
You are so annoying. You have no friends. Nobody likes you. You're so ugly. You're stupid. Yuck. You're gross and fat.
Where do you even
I
get
hope
the
you
confidence?
Die, you're nothing special.
Do everyone a favor
and shut up. Hateful words will hurt, even if said behind anonymity. Being anonymous doesn't give you the right to cyberbully. Haters, stop the hate.
A public service reminder from DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
There, a news article is now published. But is it real? Fake? Or satirical? Here are some things to consider. Consider the headline. Does it use excessive punctuation? Is the headline trying to invoke a reaction? Consider the source of the information. Is it a well-known source? Are the images used authentic or taken out of context? Whenever you see examples of misinformation, debunk them. Remember, accuracy matters. The truth matters. A message from DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Go, teacher, go!
Nagbabalik po ang Go Teacher Go. Ito pa rin si Classmate Malu. Kasama ko pa rin ngayong hapon ang physics group ng NISMED.
Ako po si Teacher Cheryl.
Ako po si Teacher Ramon.
At ako po si Teacher Debbie.
Ayan, at pinag-uusapan kanina bago tayo nag-station break, pinag-uusapan natin itong mga elements ng formative assessment at binabahagi sa atin ni Teacher Debbie itong student goal setting at sabi niya, ito palang kabahagi ng dapat din tandaan dito sa formative assessment ay kasama ang estudyante sa pag-formulate ng goal base doon sa naset na objective ni teacher. Tama ba, Teacher Debbie?
Opo, tama yan, Teacher Malu.
Mm.
Okay. Diyan papasok yung tinatawag natin na shared, ano? Kaya importante yung word na shared. Mm-hmm. Hindi lang yung teacher ang parang
may alam
mm-hmm. at hindi lang siya yung nagmamaneho, kumbaga, gagamitin yung word na nagmamaneho, mm-hmm. kundi both the teacher and the students mm-hmm. ang nagmamaneho towards their learning objectives.
Yes.
Tapos, nabanggit din nga yung ano, diba, student goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi, importante kasi, alam mo na, diba, mayroon tayong pinag-uusapan or sinasabing individual differences.
Mm-mm.
At least kapag alam ng mga bata yung objective sa araw na yon, magkakaiba man yung atake nila, magkakaiba man yung approaches nila, kasi hindi natin alam kung anong tumatakbo sa isip nila, no? Magkakaiba man yan, at least alam nila, iisa ang patutunguhan nila.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Tama. At nabanggit kanina, parang pumasok din yung collaborative, ano? Kasi dapat nga, hindi lang isang may alam, hindi lang si teacher,
yes.
pati mga bata. Pero may mention din kayo na ano yung feedback. Ayun, sabi ni Teacher Debbie kanina, feedback that feeds learning forward.
Yes, it's not just any kind of feedback. It should be a feedback that pushing kind of, kasi there are a lot of feedback. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example later.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just... Coates Sadler, sabi niya, Sadler defines feedback in educational context as information provided to the learners to reduce the gap between current performance and the desired goal. So, di ba nag-set na tayo ng objectives, mm-hmm. nag-student goal na tayo. So, ngayon, let's see, gagawin na ng mga estudyante mm-hmm. kung ano man yung steps na naisip nila. Okay, mm-hmm. if ever dumating sila doon. Ngayon, paano malalaman ng student na yung ginagawa nila ay it's helping them to achieve the learning objective? Mm-hmm. So, dyan na ngayon papasok yung feedbacking. So, let me give you an example. This is teaching physics lesson about force and motion. This was documented by Furtak. Well, originally documented by Harlow and Otero in 2005. So, to find out what the students knew about force and friction, a teacher asked the students what would happen to a toy car if they pushed it on a flat surface and then let it roll forward. So, itutulak yung toy car and mm-hmm. then hayaang tumakbo. So, the students responded overwhelmingly that after a while, the car would slow down. So, but of course, the teacher did not stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sabi ng teacher, okay, so bakit siya magsislow down?
Mm-hmm.
Ayun. So, the teacher was already preparing the common alternative conception that it slows down because force runs out of the car. So, mm-hmm. yan yung
alam na bata.
Hindi, yun yung
nabanggit
ng previews
na.
Naubos yung force. This is an alternative conception we discussed
diba?
A while.
Oh.
And it's common. So, the teacher was preparing that the students would be giving that
I-expect ng teacher na yun ang isasagot ng bata.
Oo. But nagulat ang teacher because the students actually did not just say that one.
Mm.
Of course, kasali pa rin siya na force runs out. May nagsabi pa rin ganun. Mm-hmm. Pero may ibang estudyante rin na nagsabi na dahil to sa gravity, kaya bumabagal yung takbo
may
na.
May kakaibang sagot sa
in-expect. May kakaiba. Tapos may ibang nagsabi na the car slowed down because of the cracks on the floor. Dahil daw may mga cracks dun sa floor. And then other students say na it just stops. Yung mga students na nagsabi na it just stops, this is actually a shout out or a recall on Aristotelian conception of force and motion na may mga bagay na may natural tendency yung mga bagay. So, kunyari, yung hangin, natural tendency niyang umakyat, yung mga bato ay natural tendency lang bumagsak mo, so on so forth. So, siguro ang iniisip ng student is, it's na natural tendency of the car to stop after a while. So, yun na yung common response. Ngayon, how does a teacher gives feedback? So, the common way of giving feedback is actually saying na, mali yan.
Uh-oh.
Tama to. Ito may konting diretsong that's a direct feedbacking. Okay, it saves time. Okay? But it's not as effective as what the teacher did here.
Uh-oh.
Kasi ang teacher dito hindi niya sinagot yung mga ideas ng mga bata.
Anong ginawa ni teacher?
Ang ginawa ng teacher, the teacher planned an activity in which students investigated the motion of the car on increasingly rougher grades of sandpaper. So, may mga different sandpaper siya.
Mm-hmm.
So, different grades of sandpaper. And then the students collected and graphed data from the investigation and then presented their explanations to the class. In each group, students were able to relate the fact that the bumps on the sandpaper were responsible for the car slowing down.
Okay.
So in a way, ano ngayon yung feedback na natanggap ng estudyante? The feedback that the students received is not the comment of the teacher, but actually the investigation that the teacher prepared for the students. So that's one way of giving feedback.
So hindi pala nga kailangan na yung verbally.
Pwedeng...
So, yung feedback niya is through activity. Naka-discover mga bata.
Diba, we mentioned a while ago that one of the feature of formative assessment is fluidity. It's fluid. So, yung teacher ngayon, nang nakita niya yung ganyan pala yung mga ideas ng mga bata, he created then and there an activity.
So, yung diagnostic ba yung una niyang ginawa? Yung nag-prepare siya ng...
Diagnostic, but not in a way na we understood diagnostic exams, because diagnostic exams usually are multiple choices or pen and papers. What I would call in that one is the teacher was just trying to uncover students' initial
conceptions. Tama, parang inassess niya kung ano yung alam ng bata about that incident na yun, yung sinasabi niyo na pagka pinatakbo yung kotse, no? Parang ano ang parang malalaman niya kung ano yung konsepto ng bata sa ganung pangyayari. At doon si teacher gumawa ng feedback through that activity. Ganun ba yun?
So yun yung part talaga ng formative assessment. So, 'di ba ang pinag-usapan natin dito elements of formative assessment. So that's one element of formative assessment. So in a way inalam niya muna kung ano. So tulad nga nung sinabi ni Ramon ay ni Teacher Ramon kanina na yung diagnostic as pwede siyang diagnostic assessment pero hindi siya talagang diagnostic assessment the way we understand
yung
it, no?
Paper and pen
pero part siya ng formative assessment.
It's so nice. May ganun pala, no? Galing.
And just to add, why is it necessary to give feedback to learners? May analysis done by Haiti in 1998. It's a meta-analysis. Found out 100 factors of affecting or influencing educational achievement. Sabi daw dito, the effect of feedback was great enough such that it could be cited as among the top 5 in school factors. Yes, it's the feedbacking is very important. And then, it was shown that feedback on receiving information about a task and how to do it more effectively had a greater effect in educational achievement than those related to praise, rewards, and punishment. So, kaya nga ibig sabihin lang nito yung kung mag-feedback ka dun sa students on how to better do it or on how to improve his or her work, it's better than praising a student, "Uy, ang galing-galing." Or giving rewards, kung sino makakasagot, magbibigay na akong ganyan. Or punishment, lalabas kayo kung ano, kung hindi niyo masagot to. Those things, mas malaki ang impact ng feedbacking compared to the impact of those praise, rewards, and punishments.
Kasi parang yung ano kasi parang yung minimension yung nga kanina na yung formative assessment is parang part, pinaprocess, parang gano'n? Ano ba exact term na ginamit nyo? Doon sa parang pinaprocess niya inaalam niya ng bata.
Focus on the learning process and learning progress.
Focus on the learning process. Whereas, kung mga reward, diba, ang focus nandun sa kung ano yung matatanggap.
Yes, kung ano matatanggap niya. Kaya nga, it's not really so it's advisable. Not,
so, wag na mga mami, wag na kayo mag-reward sa inyo mga ano.
They should focus on the learning.
Yan, nasa learning ang focus.
Oo.
Right? Nakikita so, naman talaga natin.
Opo. Tapos yung... characteristics of effective feedback, kasi nga sabi, nabanggit nga ni Teacher Debbie kanina, hindi lang to feedback na feedback, dapat it should be a feedback that feeds learning forward. So a feedback should direct the attention to the intended learning, pointing out strengths and offering specific information to guide improvement.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so ituturo niya kung ano yung strength mo, tapos paano ka mag-i-improve. Okay. Tapos, occurs during learning while there is still time to act on it. So, sa number two, kasi, yung pangalawang point, may ano, parang reminder na, konting reminder lang to na, siguro since kailangan ng teacher na mag-feedback, unfortunately, we're always time-bound when we are in school. So, siguro, we should choose which to feedback, yung importanteng makakatulong sa mas nakakaraming bata, kasi there are some cases wherein we don't have any more time to act on whatever we got from the students. So you'd better
on that time ibigay
mo na. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then third one, it should address partial understanding. So ito yung mga binanggit natin kanina na may sinabi yung bata, hindi tama, hindi mali. So nasa gitna, di natin alam kung parang lutong hilaw. Lutong makaw.
Hilaw. Actually, hilaw. Ano ba yun? Hilaw hindi talaga. Siya, hindi pa luto.
Oo. So, hindi siya scientifically aligned. Hindi rin natin siya masasabing it's an alternative conception. Basta andun lang siya sa gitna. So, it should address that one. And then, does not do the thinking for the student. So, a feedback that does not do the thinking for the students. Hindi yung, ito ang gagawin mong sunod, ito yung gagawin mong susunod, ito ang gagawin mong susunod. You let the students think or figure out what's their mistake. So, siguro you could do reflective questions. So, in that, let's say, sasabihin natin na, the force runs out as the object moves. Okay? Pwede mong itanong ulit na, how does a force appear? Or, when does a force act on an object? And when will a force stop acting on an object? Okay? When the object is no longer, let's say bola in basketball, no? When the ball is no longer on the hand of the player, is the force of the hand still acting on the ball? Mga ganong formative. Hindi mo sasabihin na, nang nawala na yung bola, wala na rin yung force. You're already doing the thinking for the students. Okay, and then the fifth one, the last characteristic of an effective feedback is it limits corrective information to the amount of advice the students can act on. So, do not, gustong sabihin lang nito is do not give advice to the students that they cannot do while in the class. Kasi well, let's say,
dini-discourage mo na?
Well, hindi naman dini-discourage. Kunyari, you only have 15 minutes left in the class, tapos kailangan ng, with your advice, kailangan pa ang mag-research ng students.
Mm-mm.
Una, may internet connection ba sila?
Yun.
Are they allowed to use their phone?
Yeah.
So, yung mga ganong ano, feedback na medyo hindi na kayang sagutin or magawa ng students in the class.
Mm-mm.
Don't limit that one. Huwag na yun yung ibigay.
So parang i-assess mo din yung capability ng students and ng availability ng resources, parang ganoon.
Yeah, diyan na papasok yung ano, teacher skills.
Oo nga. So ganoon pala yung feedback. So guys, hindi ang feedback ay hindi yung sasabihin mo lang na mali or tama ang sagot mo. So may madaming sinuggest si Teacher Ramon na mga pwedeng gagawin.
Yeah, actually, which is actually connected to the next one.
Okay, sige. Sa ating pagbabalik, ay papaliwatag mo yung next one.
Hindi, si Teacher Sheryl.
Okay, ang DZUP 1602 ay member ng KBB, Kabisanan ng mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas. DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka! Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602. Tayo na makinig sa DZUP 1602. Ikaw ang bota tayo sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Iniyahatid ng National Institutes of Health, University of the Philippines, Manila at DZUP 1602, ang Health Republic, kalusugang responsibilidad ng bayan. Health Republic. Abangan ang Health Republic tuwing Huwebes, alas 5 hanggang alas 6 ng gabi para sa mga kaalaman sa mga pulisiyang pangkalusugan.
dito sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Paano nga ba magkaroon ng well-balanced meal? Para lang yung pagbuo ng banda. Carbohydrates for energy. Protein for bones and muscle building. Fruits and vegetables for vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. Huwag kalimutan ng water for proper circulation of nutrients. Altogether, they make a meal for a body in perfect harmony. Isang paalalang, kasali ka mula sa DZUP 1602.
Alam mo, tagal-tagal na, parang walang nagbabago.
Ha?
May label na nga, binibigay ko yung narapat. Kung kaya ko pang salbahin, di ko natatapon. Ano pang kulang?
Nag-uusap na ba kayo? Walang naayos na problema kung ikaw lang ang nag-e-effort.
Ang problemang pangkalikasan ay nangangailangan ng pagkakaisa at pakikisama. Laging itapon ang basura sa tamang lugar, tumulong sa pag-segregate, at gamitin pa ang maaari. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Go Teacher Go!
Nagbabalik po ang Go Teacher Go at nasa huling bahagi na tayo ngayong hapon. At pinag-usapan nga po natin yung mga dapat tandaan ng mga guro para maging effective na ma-implement ang formative assessment sa loob ng klase. Bukod sa madami yung nabanggit, mukhang may ilan pang mga tatlo pa yung natatandaan ko na hindi na-mention, di ba, Teacher Cheryl?
Tama, mayroon pa tayong tatlo. At nag-end nga tayo kanina na sinabi ni Ramon na yung ni Teacher Ramon, di ba, nag-discuss si Teacher Ramon tungkol sa feedbacking, feedback that feeds learning. At itong susunod nating element ay related actually doon sa previously shared na tungkol sa feedbacking. Kasi di ba napansin ninyo, diniscuss ni Teacher Ramon kanina, isang paraan is mag-provide ng more questions. Hindi ka magsasabi. Di ba may sinabi siyang gano'n na instead of saying na, oh, mali yan, or hindi yan tama, gano'n. Why not ask more questions? I-probe mo yung sagot ng bata, di ba? Mas maganda yun eh. Mas nakaka... Kumbaga sa bata, mafe-feel niya. Hindi niya mafe-feel rather. Hindi niya mafe-feel na parang... ay, mali pala yung sagot ko. Parang ganon. Oo.
So, may type of question pala.
Actually, maraming mga types of questions, di ba? Pero ano ba itong tinatawag natin na effective questioning? Bakit, kailan nga ba natin masasabing effective
ang
questioning? So, according to Muson, okay, effective daw ang isang, ang questioning ng teacher kung ito ay, if it will force students to clarify, probe, and challenge their current ideas.
Yan ang question na galing sa teacher.
Yes. So, kung yung question na galing sa teacher will force the students to mag-clarify, ika-clarify, kung hindi man klaro, to probe, or to challenge their current ideas, no? So, meron akong gustong i-share. Mabilis lang to. Nakuha na din namin sa isang article. Mabilis lang to para lang makita natin ano ba yung sinasabi natin na effective questioning? Ano ba yung sinasabi natin to probe or to clarify or to challenge students' ideas? Ano? So, tungkol ito pa rin sa force. So, tinanong ng teacher, what is a force or what are forces? Tapos may estudyanteng sumagot na push or pull. Push or pull? Yes, stop things moving. Sabi ng teacher, stop things moving. Can you think of any time when they stop things moving? Can you give me an example? Tapos may isang estudyante na, a cricket bat stopped the ball. Tapos sabi ni teacher, the bat stopped the ball? And what else did forces do? Tapos sabi ng estudyante is, the bat pushed the ball. Once it stopped, the ball pushed it away. Tapos sabi ng teacher, how might you describe that? What did it do to the ball? Diba? Tapos sabi nung estudyante, maybe it stopped it and then it started it again. Tapos sabi nung teacher, how? Tapos sabi ng estudyante, is it rebounding off it? So dito part, yung estudyante ngayon, yung isang estudyante, no? Nagtanong siya. So part ng, diba, ang ganda ng batuan nila, hindi lang sagot, kundi may estudyante din na
nagtanong. Nagtanong din si student.
Oo, nagtanong din. Tapos sabi ng teacher, kind of, how might we say that? How might we describe that movement? Tapos may estudyanteng sumagot, bouncing? sabi niya. Mm-hmm. Tapos sabi ng teacher, "Hmm? Yeah? What, how else might we describe that?" Tapos sabi ng estudyante, it pushed the ball. So makikita nyo, parang laging may tanong.
Parang nagbabatuhan sila.
Nagbabatuhan sila, diba? So makikita mo dito na in this conversation, the teacher is already assessing whether or not the students were able to understand the concept of force.
Mm-mm.
At saka kung napansin ninyo, these students here are having difficulty in recalling that forces can cause an object to change its direction. Pero sa tulong ng iba't ibang prompts na ginamit ng teacher, these students eventually were able to obtain the right answer.
Yes. May ano lang ako, may observation na ako. Dun sa question na binato ng teacher, wala siyang question na ang sagot ay pang yes or no.
Oo nga. Actually, hindi niya napansin ko.
Diba?
Parang sa bawat tanong niya, mapapaisip yung bata.
Yes.
Tama. Oo.
So, hindi siya yung close-ended. It's an open-ended question.
Oo nga. Talagang, parang may hinuhugot siya na something sa mga bata. Pero yan ang teacher ang nagtatanong. Pero may mention kayo kanina dun sa element 5 na student engagement in asking effective questions. Paano naman yun?
So actually, di ba, napansin nyo kanina sa parang sinalaysay na kwento ni Teacher Cheryl, may isa doon na bata na nagtanong. Di ba? Parang nagtanong yung bata. So actually, yung pagtatanong ng bata ay dapat ini-encourage at isa din siyang part component ng formative assessment. Dahil sa pagtatanong ng bata, parang it's a creative act yung pagtatanong at kina-clarify niya yung mga ideas niya, if natutunan ba niya, tinatry niya maging visible yung thinking niya towards the teacher. So, I think ito yung point nito na parang you should always encourage your students to ask questions, to clarify their ideas or if they want to learn more about the topic. Kasi ganun lang naman nagtatanong lang yung estudyante. If may hindi siya naintindihan at gusto niyang maintindihan iyon, and yung pangalawa is yung may gusto pa siyang matutunan beyond the lesson. So, he is owning his own learning. Parang I'm personally in charge of my own learning.
Parang ganun.
Pero
paano ba natin ma-encourage sila na magtanong?
So, una siguro maganda yung magkaroon nga yung sa effective questioning, yung magkaroon ng culture na yung parang hindi ginajudge, hindi agad-agad sinasabihan na tama ka, mali ka, which is tinatry mong i-process hanggang sa makarating siya sa tamang sagot. In that way, pag yung hindi napapahiya yung bata, mas open siya sa pagtatanong.
Yeah. Parang we should establish the culture of trust and non-judgmental questioning. So once in a while my practice is explain myself na nagtatanong po ako hindi dahil gusto kong sabihin na mali ka or tama ka, nagtatanong ako para mas mapaliwanag mo pa ang iyong ideas or mas ma investigate pa natin yung mga ideas ng kaklase niyo. So once in a while I do that one or we do that one so that the students will understand what we are doing. So, dapat explicit yung pag-explain na ating strategies.
Tama. Tsaka napansin ko rin, yung nung nagtanong si teacher, napaka-natural na nanggaling talaga sa bata. Eh, siguro na na-stimulate din yung interest.
Yeah, relaxed yung bata.
Relaxed. Yung ambience na na-settle, yung environment na na-establish ni teacher.
At saka
gusto kong iklaro na yung mga estudyanteng sinabi ko, di ba, sagot ng estudyante. Actually, hindi lang iisa or dalawang estudyante. Hindi ko lang minention yung names ng mga estudyante. Pero dito sa sa article, iba-ibang estudyante yon. Iba-iba silang estudyante.
Ah, iba-iba yung sumasagot. Okay.
Oo, tapos, siguro, isama na rin natin yung element number 6, yung student self-assessment and peer assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share to you what William wrote. This is from another book, I guess. The research shows that the person providing feedback benefits just as much as the recipient because they are forced to internalize the learning intentions and success criteria in the context of someone else's work, which is less emotionally charged than one's own work. So basically, ang gustong sabihin ni Williams dito, after undergoing all of our activities, okay, after the student has undergone the activities that the teacher has prepared, including the classroom discussion, dapat hindi magsa-stop dun eh. Ang next step is to let the student reflect.
Mm-mm.
Ano na ngayon ang kabuluhan ng activity na to
yun
para sa akin?
Okay.
Yan. So, it is important to note that students must understand the criteria and standards required in assessing their work.
Ayan. Naku, maganda yung huli mong sinabi. At sana itong pag-uusap natin ay ma-encourage natin ang mga teacher na payabungin ang paggamit ng formative assessment sa ating mga classroom. Maraming salamat sa inyong ibinahagi ngayong hapon at sana sa ganitong pamamaraan ay maiwasan na natin at ma-address yung sinasabi nating mga alternative conceptions. Yeah, maraming salamat, Teacher Cheryl.
Maraming salamat po sa lahat ng mga nakinig po sa araw na ito. Sana'y marami po kayong natutunan mula sa amin. At yun po.
Good afternoon din po at maraming salamat. Binigyan niyo kami ako ng chance at pati mga kasamahan ko na magbahagi ng aming kalaman regarding formative assessment. Siguro ay may episode na tayo sa susunod.
Oo, dagdagan pa natin.
Oo, yung reflection. Parang gusto kong i-follow up yun.
O sige, magdadagdag pa tayo.
Saka invite ko lang po yung lahat na pumunta po. Kayo po invited sa aming 55th anniversary public lecture, The World on Fire, The Fourth Industrial Revolution on November 20, 2019 at 2 p.m. po. Sa NISMED po tayo. Kita kits po.
Maraming salamat, Teacher David, sa ating mga panahon ngayon. At maraming salamat din po sa inyong pakikinig. At ito pong muli si Classmate Malu Agad Pansamantala po kaming nagpapaalam hanggang sa susunod na Huwebes dito lang sa ating programang Go Teacher Go!
Ikaw ba'y guro ng math and science? Kung ganun, tara na at makinig sa programang tanging para sa'yo. Go Teacher Go! Tungkol sa mga bagong math and science teaching techniques, inain, hindi lang pang guro, pang estudyante pa. Go Teacher Go!